This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, I was about to mention to our guest this week, John Olson, that I've never, ever been to Utah. I might have flown over it, but I've never been there. What am I missing?
Oh, lots. We've got so many different things here in Utah. It's amazing. Not just paranormal, but the landscape and the beauty is amazing. So we're kind of nestled here out in the middle of the western United States, and it's really a wonderful place to live, to be honest.
Well, nowadays you can't go anywhere because the world has changed. Like, I wanted to visit my son in Spain, and I'd have to first quarantine myself for 2 weeks.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the world is just so different right now, and you wonder when we're ever going to get back to normal, or if we're ever going to get back to normal, so...
I was talking to somebody at the convenience store, and he was having trouble adjusting his mask. Of course, he had a beard, not like your beard, which is, you know, finely adjusted and anything, like a really big, long, brown beard. And right. He said it gets irritating, and I was discussing different kinds of masks that he could get. And I said, eventually, this has got to be over. And he says, it'll never be over. It's going to be that way. And I thought to myself, you know what? Our problem is here is that in this particular universe of ours, we've been talking about the possibility that we're being visited by alien beings. E.T. is amongst us somewhere, and that eventually they'll land or there will be disclosure. And I think if E.T. is here, what do they think of us? What would aliens think of these crazy lunatic earthlings?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking that the other day. In the little area that I live, masks became such a polarizing thing between people. And to be honest, in my mind, I'm like, whether I believe it helps or it doesn't help, whatever, you know, how is that a bad thing to just have to wear a mask? Maybe it's terrible for me to think that way, but I just couldn't believe that a little piece of cloth could be so polarizing for people.
Well, it's symbolic. There's some really good reasons on both sides of the fence. When it comes to masks, it's obvious that in high-risk situations and locations, that they're sensible. If you're visiting an old folks' home, if you work in a hospital right. or a medical clinic, something like that. But apart from that, what we know about the disease itself now is that it's just not as bad as we thought it could be at the very beginning. So all of the fear about what could happen is carried over, and I think really turned into a bit of hysteria over the whole thing. There's just places where it's not needed. Here in Alberta, the chief medical officer says, well, we don't need a province-wide mask law because the virus just isn't everywhere, for one thing.
Brandon, we're not going to do a show on masks, but I just want to throw one thing out at you. I agree it's not essential, but any locale where the infection rate's above a certain point, you've got to take precautions. If you're living in an area where it's very, very low, then the amount of precautions you take would be a lot less. That's not even here nor there, because we can't do anything about it right now except control it where it needs to be controlled, which is where we have the debate. And, you know, I think, though, about alien beings coming to Earth and looking at us and wondering, and I have the feeling is that if there are beings in other worlds that are in some ways similar to us, maybe we all come from the same genetic pool. Just think about that, and that's frightening enough as it is. If we all come from similar or the same genetic pools, they're undergoing the same things we are. and they've gone through it or it's still going through it, they are no better. Why should we assume because living creatures have a more sophisticated bag of tricks, they can travel from star system to star system, that they are morally any better than we are, or that they even have a set of standards and principles that we could even understand?
Yeah, I would agree with that too. Yeah, just depending upon how far advanced they are and how their upbringing through their civilization was, you know, they probably face a lot of the similar things that we do. Maybe they face things that we can't even imagine either. So it's really fun to think about, though.
You're living in an interesting place too. Cache Valley is just over the mountain range from the San Luis Valley, by the looks of it here.
It's a little bit over, yep.
But both are really high in instances of paranormal activity. You're also situated to some national forests and national parks there. It looks like an absolutely beautiful area, but these areas seem to be known for that sort of thing. Like, why do you think that is? You've been all over the United States talking to people, particularly, though, in the western United States. What is it about these wild areas that seems to make it more prevalent for weird, strange things to happen?
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I was going over, you know, some of my case files and everything, and it surprised me how many of them occurred, you know, in wilderness areas or out in the mountains. And even when I expanded and started getting stories from around the country and around the Americas, a lot of them were central in mountain ranges. And, you know, I'm not quite sure why that would be, unless one thing that I had thought of is when you're in the mountains, when you're camping, when you're hiking and everything like that, there's a lot of background noise that kind of falls away in our life. Perhaps that opens up for us to be able to be in touch with of that more of a spiritual side, maybe more of a paranormal side, because it is quieter for us. It's kind of a almost a primeval thing for us, since, you know, our ancestors had to make a living out there, and that could be a way that the paranormal is able to connect with us out there in the wilderness.
Here, books, you've got books called the Bridgerland series, Bridgerland, Stranger Bridgerland. Tell us what Bridgerland is, what it's all about, how it got that name, because I think probably there's a lot of people that really, they don't know what or exactly where it is.
So the northern part of Utah and actually a little bit into Wyoming and a little bit into Idaho, the northern part, has the name of Bridgerland. And where it got that name, it was originally scouted out by the trappers that came up here. And one of the main trappers, his name was Jim Bridger. And if you've ever seen the movie that Leonardo DiCaprio did as when he was a trapper, one of the characters in there, that's based on a true story. And one of the characters, one of the young men in there, his name is Jim Bridger. And that's actually based on the real Jim Bridger. He trapped this area, got to know the Native Americans. He mapped the area and then was later able to give directions and help a lot of the settlers that came in, the best places to stay and everything like that. So they ended up calling the area Bridgerland because of that. In fact, Utah State, which is here in Cache Valley, and the University of Wyoming, when they play football, they fight over a replica of Jim Bridger's rifle, and they call it the Bridger Trophy. And so it's really steeped into the whole culture of northern Utah, and that's why it's called Bridgerland. And when I started originally, it was all, you know, it was almost 30 years ago, and so I didn't have the internet, I didn't have all of this way to get in touch with a lot of people. So most of the stories that I gathered and the people that came to me came from this area, because this is where I grew up.
Bridgerland is a place, and the investigator is John Olson, and he'll also be hanging with us, I believe, for after the PowerCast. So this is just going to be a lot of fascinating stuff to tell, and he's giving us the background of the area in which he lives. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the PowerCast. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
Seven million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Just to let you know, you're encountering the usual sky follies. Microsoft does not want us to explore the mysteries of Bridgerland that John Ellison is telling us about. But you're giving us kind of the background about the area and your familiarity and how you got involved in looking for the strange and unknown. And a lot of these regions, like Mysterious Valley and everything, seem to be magnets for stuff like this. Is that what you've observed, John?
Yeah, I've noticed that, you know, for example, one of the stories that I collected and interviewed people, that the places that it happened would have names like Devil's Gate or Scare Canyon. Even though nobody can remember why they were called that, there's paranormal things that happen in that area, which makes sense of why it would be called that, Scare Canyon, the Devil's Gate, and different stuff like that. So it's really interesting how, in a lot of way, folklore and actual paranormal seem to intertwine.
Yeah, it's not like that this was any sort of, you know, area where there was big civil war unrest or anything like that. This is kind of a wilderness area.
Mm-hmm, it is. Yep. It has a rich history with the Native Americans and with the pioneers that came here and stuff like that. But as the world stage goes, no, you know, not a lot of big battles or stuff like that that went on in the area.
I think the movie you were referring to, was that The Revenant with DiCaprio?
Yes, it is.
Yep. Really a different kind of movie for him. Very good movie, too. I think they filmed some of that up here in Alberta, too.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, it's very similar country, actually, depending on where you go in Alberta, of course.
Right, and the time of year, of course, is important, too. So that's kind of how Bridgeland got its name and kind of the paranormal things that I've noticed in the wilderness. How I started getting into the paranormal, I grew up in a home that was over 100 years old at the time. It was built in 1883. It had been in my family for quite a couple generations, and it was very paranormally active. When I was younger, my parents didn't like us talking about it, and so I needed an outlet. And so I did a lot of studying on the paranormal when I was younger. And then later on, when I was able, in my teens, and was able to share my stories and get that out, I would have people come to me with their stories when they heard that I was, you know, had similar experiences. And that's kind of how I started out with collecting stories and interviewing people.
That's really quite fascinating. Yeah, I remember when you were on the show last time, you were telling us about some of your experiences, but we should probably remind some of our listeners and maybe let some of our newer listeners in on some of these experiences you had in the home where you grew up.
So it was interesting. When I was younger, I have an older sister. She's about 4 years older than me, and then a younger brother that's about a year younger than me. And we kind of coined the term for the phenomenon as the stair monster, because during the day and any time during the day, there was a steep set of stairs that goes from the main floor to the second floor where my bedroom was. And you could hear heavy footsteps or children's footsteps running up and down the stairs all the time, not just at night. And so we kind of called it the stair monster. We referred to the ghost as the stair monster. That was one of the more common things that happened. A few other things that would happen is that I touch on in this book too, is I remember as a little kid, I went into the kitchen and I had a little toy plane with me that I'd been playing with, and I set it on the counter and turned and got a drink of water. And when I turned back, my plane was gone off the counter, but in its place was a toy gun that I'd never seen before. And I picked it up and it was really heavy. And I remember going to my mom and saying, you know, I put my plane down and my plane is gone. And now there's this gun. And she looked at it and it was a really old, you know, made of metal cap gun from the 20s. And it was in pristine condition too. And she just brushed it off and said, I must have misplaced it. And so, you know, I played with that for a little while. And I think it was about 2 days later, I walk into the kitchen and there sitting where I left it was my plane. And I couldn't find the little cap gun again. So that was one thing that happened quite a bit to me and my siblings, is you could set something down and there was no guarantee it would be there shortly thereafter. It would just disappear. I found that really strange and, you know, unusual growing up. I did on a couple occasions see a tall figure. He always had overalls and a wide brimmed hat and a white shirt, but I could never see fully his face. And one time I remember I was just come home from school and was sitting in the front room. I just made myself a sandwich, and he walked into the front room in front of me and sat down in a rocking chair across from me and started rocking in the chair. And I remember closing my eyes and counting to 10, and he was gone, but the chair continued to rock for a moment and then stop. So there was a lot of things like that that went on when I was younger. And in fact, my parents still live in that home, and I go visit, you know, quite a bit to see my parents, and there's still quite a bit of activity that goes on to this day. I write in this, in my new book, of a story that happened about 6 months ago. I went over to visit my parents before I picked up my son from school, and their car wasn't in the driveway, and so I just went in. I figured I'd wait for them. And opened the back door and walked in, and I yelled, I'm home, you know, like I do, just in case my dad had left my mom at home and I didn't startle her in the front room. And I hear my dad's voice from the front room say, we're in here. And so I walk into the front room, and sure enough, there's nobody there. The TV's turned off. Everything's turned off. All that's in there is my mom's dog, her little Shih Tzu, sitting on the couch. And so I just kind of brush it off, and I had a book with me, so I sat down in the chair and started reading the book. And about 15 minutes later, I heard the back door open and close in the kitchen, and I hear my dad's voice say, we're home. And so I get up and I go into the kitchen. Sure enough, there's nobody there. I go look out the window. Their car isn't in the driveway. And so I go back into the front room and start reading my book again. And again, the door opens, slams, when I hear my dad yell, we're home. And this time I get up, I go in the kitchen, and again, there's nobody there. And this time, as I'm looking out the window to see if the car's there, I hear somebody laughing behind me in the front room, directly behind me. And as I grew up in this, and I know what it is, and it really doesn't frighten me, I just kind of, in a sarcastic voice, just said out loud, oh, ha-ha, you got me again. And I went back in and sat down in the front room. And then, sure enough, a few minutes later, the door opens, and I hear my dad, and I just stayed in the front room reading my book. And then he came walking into the front room, and it was actually my dad. And he said, didn't you hear me come in? And I said, yeah, but I wasn't really sure it was you. And he kind of gave me a funny look, and then I explained to him that the ghost had been playing tricks. So, and that was just 6 months ago. So there's always stuff that goes on.
We've got more stuff going on here, by the way. And we're talking about our friend John Olson, talking about the fact that he had a ghost experience just 6 months ago, not, you know, 26 years or something like that. A lot more to talk about with Gene Randall. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump visited areas of Texas and Louisiana hit hard by Hurricane Laura. At the Emergency Operations Center in Orange, Texas, the president held a round table with local officials.
We've worked with the private sector to restore power to remaining 200,000 residents, and they think the power is going to be restored almost in very good order.
Pretty quick.
I believe so.
He said water and meals are being delivered to the region. He also signed a major disaster declaration. Earlier, he toured storm damage in Louisiana. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden gave a virtual address to the National Guard.
I promise you as president, I'll never put you in the middle of politics or personal vendettas. I'll never use the military as a prop or as a private militia to violate rights of fellow citizens.
This is USA Radio News. President Trump is back on the campaign trail, and USA's Kenneth Burns has details.
The president hit the road less than a day after accepting the Republican nomination. As he was giving his acceptance speech as part of the RNC on the White House South Lawn, protesters took to the street. The president criticized protesters during the rally at an airport in Londonderry, New Hampshire.
They're not protesters. Those aren't those are anarchists. They're agitators. They're rioters. They're looters.
For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns.
U.S. Marshals say they found 39 missing children in Atlanta and Macon, Georgia. Investigators cleared 26 arrest warrants, including warrants for 9 people arrested, and filed additional charges for alleged crimes related to sex trafficking, parental kidnapping, registered sex offender violations, drugs and weapon possessions, and custodial interference. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Well, I think and I hope that the Skype problems are gone. You've noticed now during the pandemic that everyone's using Zoom or Skype to make a connection for interviews. And the problem is the quality of those connections are often really bad. So they sound like they're talking in the middle of a tank of water. Like that. Imagine now you're talking to a candidate for public office, and he's talking back at you, or she's talking back at you, and you get... And I can do that forever, because some people think I talk that way all the time.
Actually, yeah, you did that really well, Gene. That was not bad. Yeah.
I understand that there's an app for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't need one.
So
I resemble that. Anyway, my other imitation, by the way, is Bond, James Bond. By the way, Sean Connery's 90.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. That's crazy.
Well, people live to be 90.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I just wouldn't have guessed he was that old, but I guess we're all getting older, so.
I think we should recap a little bit there, because that's pretty interesting. What you've got is a situation where you've got like a doppelganger or Vordager, what they call the apparitions or the appearance of people that are in another location. Had that happen with me, not that I've experienced that, but somebody else, actually my son, thought that I came in the house one day and came down to where he was working on the computer and was like mucking around in the basement. And then I went out, but I wasn't even there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I came home a little while later and he says, like, what were you doing? Like, I just got back. He says, well, I saw you come down the stairs. I said, nope, wasn't me. Don't know who it was. Well, it looks like you. So, you know.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Mm. And it makes you wonder, some of it could be like a glitch in the Matrix, or is it? I know that in my case, it is actually the ghost that is mimicking, and because he loves to play and has always loved to play pranks on people. And so that, at least that's my feeling, is that it, especially with the laugh that came after the second time I went in there. But it's really kind of a fascinating thing that happens like that.
This is very much like what Christopher O'Brien, our former co-host and another excellent researcher, who's done work in what we started talking about earlier, the San Luis Valley across the range from you, mm-hmm. that he calls the trickster.
Oh, yeah.
It just happens a lot in that area down there. And is there any do other people experience this? Or is it more, I guess so, because the whole area, you say, is rife with these sort of phenomena. So maybe tell us about some experiences that you talk to when you're out investigating.
So there's been a lot in the area. Like you say, it seems to be a paranormal hotspot, Cache Valley. But what's interesting is, as I, you know, interview people from all over, a lot of people are like, oh, you need to visit my area because it's a paranormal hotspot too. And so, you know, it makes you wonder how many there is out there. But some of the more fascinating ones that I've gotten from the area that I live in is, well, and actually in my second book, one of the stranger ones that I came across was an individual. He was deer hunting in the mountains and just sitting there glassing with his binoculars, and a strange individual showed up out of nowhere below him in an opening. And he didn't see him walk in. He's wondering what was going on. He was in a strange suit, orange-ish suit. And when he went down and talked to the individual, he was tall, didn't have any hair that he could see, no eyebrows or anything like that. And he spoke very strange. He said, oh, I seem to have misplaced myself. And he says, oh, are you lost? And he's like, oh, yes, lost. I'm lost. He goes, can you tell me where the nearest township is? And he explained to him how to get to the road to get out of there. And he was in the mountains in a suit and a bowler hat kind of thing and a suitcase. It appeared out of nowhere. In that whole interaction, the person, he was about 19 at the time, and the guy left him and he went back. And in that whole interaction, which seemed really hazy to him, he lost a couple, 2 hours of time that he couldn't account for. So that was definitely one of the more stranger things that had happened in the mountains of Cache Valley.
That sounds like some sort of what some people call like a dimensional portal, or I mean, I'm not sure dimensional is really the right word, but that's the way that people describe it is like a passageway from another universe or a parallel universe into this one, and that is really interesting.
Yeah, it was strange, and he mentioned too the smell of. He said the closest thing that he could explain it was an ozone kind of smell in the area when this all occurred, too. So, yeah, it was very strange the way the guy had shown up and how he looked and the missing time. Everything seemed very strange. And that's kind of what I was leaning towards, too, in talking to this individual, that he had met somebody who had just walked through a portal or a traveler of some sort. But
what about people from this side going into another one and then coming back, or who believe that they've come from another dimension or universe or parallel universe? I mean, this glitch in the matrix thing happens. I know for sure it happens. It happened to the three of us, myself and two friends, when we were about 12 out in Invermere, which is in the Columbia Valley, which is another really strange valley. It seems like these wild valley places are magnets for bizarre happenings.
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting the things that happen like that. I know I've interviewed several people who have been in the mountains. Actually, I had a very similar situation that happened to me. I was up hunting one day, and I had separated from my dad, and we were going to go down different sides of the mountain and meet. And I walked into a clearing, and it was almost like I walked into a vacuum. All sound stopped. I couldn't hear anything. Nothing was moving. And it was just the feeling of just – like fear and just a primal fear of, you know, there's something here. I'm somewhere I'm not supposed to be. And it just got thicker and thicker as I walked into basically this bubble that was inside of this patch of clearing. And eventually as I walked through, the feeling got better and finally the sound came back and everything. But, I wonder, and I've interviewed several people in that very close area that they've come into contact with this. And I often wonder if somehow I wasn't and they weren't walking near one of these portholes or really close to it. And it was distorting, you know, whatever it is that it distorts, but it's very interesting that way. I'm sure there's people who have accidentally walked into them and may or may not made it their way back out of these portals.
You raise a whole bunch of interesting possibilities there, and I want to ask about that as we progress, but let me start with that. So we assume the portal is always active and that maybe you would find yourself inside one by accident?
I don't know, to be honest. I know that when I had my experience, that later I went back to that same area. I had to kind of build up my courage to go back to the area later. And when I went back, there wasn't anything there. So I don't know if it was just open at the time, if there was something that was moving. I'm not sure, but it makes you wonder with all of the people that go missing in the wilderness that are never found. It makes you wonder if something's not using the porthole to come in and out of our universe or, you know, again, I'm just speculating, but just with the interviewing the people that I have, I mentioned in my last book, Stranger West, a gentleman who was in the mountains sitting having lunch in his Jeep, and he saw an individual, something, run down the path towards his Jeep.
And we'll continue this person who was seen. More to come with John and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Tehibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
I'm here with Scott Jusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So he's in the Jeep and he sees this guy running. Was it a normal guy or what?
So what it was he said, you know, when I'm interviewing, he says it's a guy, but it's not a guy. And I said, can you explain it to me? And he said, have you ever seen the movie Predator? And I said, yeah, of course I have. And he goes, it looked like when the Predator is cloaked and everything is just kind of like a kaleidoscope of the stuff that's behind him. And he explained that came down the path, ran right in front of his Jeep, less than 5 feet in front of his Jeep. And he got the feeling that it was somebody or something that was in cloaked like that. Ran across up and then disappeared into the tree line. So it's kind of strange what could be out there and what exactly could be using those portals, who could, you know, where are all the missing people going? It's kind of interesting. And like I say, I'm mostly just speculating because I can just take the stories and the things that I have seen and try and go from there.
Well, this sounds a lot like cloaking technology to me. This sounds like aliens. I mean, I'm not saying it's aliens, but it was,
right?
You know, but the thing is, it just adds up so many times when you start thinking about the kind of technology that could explain a lot of paranormal phenomena. Something like a cloaking suit or cloaking technology could certainly do that. It could, if you have an alien craft that's invisible and then you've got the ability to levitate things, you can make all of these phenomena happen. Using that sort of technology, it becomes an illusion and right. A magic trick. I mean, if you can make yourself disappear, you can probably make yourself look like anything you want as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It wouldn't be that hard. And these places, perfect place to land a ship. You know, nobody right. can see it. It's out there. I think they did that in Star Trek, right, Gene? They got a hold of a Klingon bird of prey and landed it in one of the parks.
Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home,
yep.
directed by Leonard Nimoy, they go back in time to get some humpback whales.
Yep.
And they land in San Francisco in a park, the bird of prey. And I kept wondering here, it's landed, it's got the cloaking device on, and nobody bumps into it? You think people would be bumping into it all the time. The other thing is here, too, it always bothered me about that. We're talking about the 23rd century. And the only race of people to have this device is what? The Klingons? And the cloaking device comes from the Romulans. But nobody else has this technology.
I'm going to show my nerd here because I'm a huge Star Trek fan.
And live long and prosper.
And prosper. I can tell you the reason that the Man, I'm really showing my true colors here. The reason that they didn't have it is because they had a treaty with those other two that said they wouldn't develop it. They wouldn't develop the cloaking technology. So, and like I say, now I've shown my real nerd that I knew that. So,
yeah, but that's perfect. I've been watching some of the Star Trek original series reruns as if I hadn't already seen them enough times. But they're the digitally remastered ones, and they're pretty cool. You know, they've really upgraded special effects, and it's like watching the show all over again. But yeah, I mean, Kirk stole the thing, didn't he, from back in the original series? So they have the technology.
Yeah.
I think at one point they even install it on one of their ships, but, you know, only temporarily.
Mm, right.
Well, the Bird of Prey in this particular case was acquired in Star Trek III.
Right.
Where Dr. Emmett Brown from Back to the Future played a Klingon.
That's right.
Right.
I do remember that. Yep.
He was good at that. I mean, he's a really funny guy, Christopher Lloyd. He made a terrific Klingon.
Yeah,
he and did. One of the best lines in the film was when Captain Kirk, he's trying to climb back up, and Kirk says, "I have had enough of you."
And his, yep, and kicks him off.
He kicks him off this ledge. This is some of William Shatner's best overacting. I'll give you something else before we get back to your stories about cloaking devices and everything. If you ever saw Chris Pine's acting in the original Wonder Woman movie that came out a couple of years ago, boy, was he trying hard to act like Shatner.
Yeah, yep. He did a good job as Kirk in the new movies, I thought anyway. I know some people didn't necessarily like him, but I thought he did a good job, so.
I didn't like Spock because he didn't have the personality. Leonard Nimoy had a certain kind of irony in the way he would act. The person who does the best is actually the one who's going to be doing it in the spin-off to Star Trek Discovery, Ethan Peck. But he comes, of course, from an acting family. His grandfather was Gregory Peck. He makes a terrific Spock.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked him, too. He did a really good job.
No Attack of Zachary Quinto is a great actor. He just did not nail Spock.
Yeah. You know, Leonard Nimoy, I just remember not only Star Trek, but because I was so into the paranormal and always have been, being younger and watching the In Search Of, the original In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy in it. And so that's just got a special place in my heart, Leonard Nimoy, because of those two things. So
it was interesting here that both Nimoy and Shatner had careers after the first Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And the others kind of sort of didn't.
Yeah, yep. Well, and it was interesting, too, because Leonard Nimoy did In Search Of, and now what's his name is doing the new Unexplained show on TV. I can't remember what if it's called The Unexplained. Anyway, but they both kind of did paranormal stuff, so.
Well, let's get back to the portal. I want to ask about that. Are we suggesting here the portals are part-time things? Say sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not? Or do we imply it's deliberate?
You know, I don't know. I would almost think that they're not there all the time, so it's got to be maybe deliberate in a way that they're, or at least some way that they're transporting back and forth, or, you know, it's hard to tell. I know that whatever was there when I went the first time, it wasn't there the second time. But whether that was on purpose or not, I'm not sure. And I don't know 100% sure that I walked near a portal. I just know how I felt when I was in that area and how disorienting it was and how unnatural it was.
Well, you made the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end when you were telling me that, because I've experienced exactly that silence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a change. It's an electric aura or atmosphere. Everything takes on a completely different tone.
Right.
It's not something you can really explain unless you experience it, but I've only really experienced that out in the wilderness or very remote places.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's But what's really bizarre about this, okay, we have two maybe possibilities. We have this idea that, okay, maybe it's aliens and they've got a ship and they're able to control gravity and that can do a lot of influencing of that sort of thing. But then how does that explain the guy that you were just talking about who seems to appear out of a different universe or time with a suitcase and a bowler hat? I mean, this doesn't sound like aliens, really. I mean, unless they're disguising themselves on purpose. It's almost right. As if we could be dealing with two separate things. There's the aliens that fly around in their ships in this universe, and then there's something else, some larger entity that is just playing with the whole thing.
Yeah.
And going, well, I wonder what would happen if I just sort of take someone from this universe over here and cut and paste them into this one just to see what they would do.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking that same thing. Could be, you know, two different, you know, completely different things. I know that they have talked about, I'm sure you guys have heard of the Skinwalker Ranch. And I've read several stories about them seeing portholes open and creatures and even crafts coming out of the portholes and then closing again. That's kind of a famous thing that has happened there. Skinwalker Ranch is also here in Utah. But there's been several different stories of people. At first they think it's just a bright light. And one in particular, I know I read, he, you know, used binoculars to look at it because he thought it was a craft, but come to find out it was a hole, like a hole out in the field, and he watched a really strange creature crawl out of the hole from another universe and then close up again. So,
well, that's pretty weird. But then again, down there in Utah and Arizona and in the mountains, I mean, we hear stories about underground bases that have their surface entrances concealed or camouflaged in a way that you can't even tell that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe it's just something like that, that, you know, really a lot more mundane.
I am speaking from my bunker in Arizona. Speaking of Arizona, it's not a bunker. More to come with John Gene Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.